It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning to everyone. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and our guest today is Mr. John Slavoski. Now, John is the Wildlife Division Leader for Texas Parks and Wildlife. And we've had John on before talking deer hunting. Today, we're going to visit with John about chronic wasting disease, CWD. And the intent of this show is not to get anybody scared. We're not talking about mad cow disease, but CWD is a real thing. It's minuscule, honestly, in the deer herd, but it is there. So I'm going to learn a few things about CWD, and I bet you will too. John, thank you a lot, sir, for spending some time with us.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, Luke.
Yep. It's good to have you with us because there is a lot of misconceptions about CWD. Now, it raised its ugly head in Texas with a deer breeder. They had to phase out a lot of deer, or they did phase out a lot of deer because of CWD being present in a breeding facility for, you know, what I call high genetic deer, but a deer breeder. Now, in the wild, it is very rare in Texas, right, to have a deer that does have CWD?
Yes, the prevalence in the native deer in Texas is very low at this time, and we're thankful for that, and continue to, you know, monitor, you know, all the hunter harvest deer we can get our hands on. To date, you know, we have 130 positive deer critters that have been found to have CWD in Texas, and 20 of those were mule deer that were free range positive, and we've had three positive whitetails that are also free range, but two of those whitetails were clear out west, you know, in and amongst the mule deer. So yeah, the prevalence is very low in the native deer here in Texas, and we're thankful for that, and just want to continue our surveillance efforts so we can kind of monitor that as it moves along.
You bet. Now, can you give us a little history on CWD? Not all the data, but I think it was first discovered in Colorado. Is that right?
Yeah, that's where we believe it to have occurred. You know, it was actually in a research facility out there in Colorado, and so that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the first place it occurred, but that's the first place we found it. You know, and there's much belief that there's more CWD out there in the country that we just haven't come upon it. You know, it's known to occur in 25 states now, and either free ranging or high fenced operations. So it's there, and hunters, whether you're hunting in Texas or hunting in other states, traveling across the country, just need to be aware of presence in CWD. And if kind of look in the state you're going, see if the place you're hunting is, you know, known to have CWD in it, and be aware of transportation regulations as you move from state to state. So it's not just something that's just you need to be aware of in Texas, but if you're traveling around the country and hunting, you need to be aware of what's occurring in the state you're going in, and then where you're transporting those deer to and from as you come back home to Texas.
Yes. Well, John, say you're is there signs the term wasting pretty much gives it away. I've got several buddies that are wildlife biologists, and they've schooled me a little bit, you know. Wasting is a pretty good way to describe it, because the deer gets really poor, and you know, I mean, they act funny. Yeah, they're not as afraid of humans a lot of times. So how do you spot one, in other words?
Well, so, you know, CWD is a neurological disease, meaning that it, you know, affects the brain of the deer. And so many of the deer that have it, you know, we may never even see, or a hunter may never see, because a wild animal gets sick, something else is going to take advantage of that. You know, a coyote or a bobcat or something's going to probably take down that animal and eat it, or it may just die and we may never know about it. But yeah, if you see a deer, what we call clinical, that it looks in poor health you know, is kind of staggering around doing things that just aren't normal for a deer, they need to let us know. We need to, take a sample from that deer and go from there. So, but the chances of a hunter seeing the clinical deer is very remote. So,
mm-hmm. Right. Oh yeah. Well, with just that few number in Texas that show up, the chances of even encountering one, like you say, with the predation and all that, very, very, very rare. Okay. Now for testing, John, say we're out at our lease and, how many were tested? You've told me thousands of them, right?
Yeah, last year the last couple of years, we've sampled around 10,000, hunter harvested deer, road kills, et cetera, across the state. So there's plenty of opportunity for a hunter to get their deer tested. It doesn't cost them anything. All they need to do is either get in contact with their local county biologist, make some arrangements, or there's a variety of check stations. If you go on the department websites, you can see where places are open, where we'll have staff at on certain time periods, throughout the hunting season. So there's opportunity out there, but the easiest way may be just to call your biologist and say, hey, I shot a deer. Can you collect a sample, or where are you going to be this weekend or this evening and make some arrangements with that individual? Because the thing that's challenging with managing and surveilling CWD, we talked about these symptoms, but, there can be CWD presence in a deer that looks, absolutely healthy. So we do something that's real simple, just collect a couple lymph nodes underneath their neck. If the hunter is interested in having the deer mounted, we can go to the taxidermist and remove the samples there, or we can remove the samples very carefully to where it won't affect the cape or anything like that for mounting purposes. But it takes us just a couple minutes to collect those lymph nodes, and you'll be on your way. There is a little bit of lag time from when we get the samples, submit them to Texas A&M, have them tested. But again, it will give you a number. You can go on the website and look and see when your sample's back, and it'll tell you whether CWD was detected or not detected in your animal. And so you could still have a process. You could wait to get a process till you get that done, keep it in the freezer, keep your meat frozen or something like that. But it's never been transmitted to humans, so I'm not suggesting in any way that there should be concerns about eating deer. But, from the surveillance efforts, if I was personally getting the deer harvested, I'm going to get my deer tested and wait to eat that deer until I get the test results back. So.
And we both know that thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hunters will shoot the deer, field dress it, get cut the meat up, and eat it.
Yep,
and,
absolutely.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah, but I stated early on, I do not want to shake anybody up thinking, you're thinking ailments on mammals like that, mad cow disease. This is not that, folks. I mean, right, John? No.
Absolutely not. I continue to eat deer. I feed it to my family. I give it to my friends and shoot numerous deer every year. And so, like I said, the prevalence of CWD in Texas is extremely low in our native herd. But we just want to make sure we continue to monitor the spread of the disease throughout the state, if in fact it is going to spread. And we haven't found any deer here in East Texas or, say, East I-35 with CWD. So we're very fortunate and can attribute that to, successful monitoring over the past many years since 2002. So we're in good shape.
Good news. It's right. Now, let's talk deer hunting a little bit, John. You're a biologist with Texas Parks and Wildlife and one of the wildlife division leaders, but you're also a hunter. Let me think back. I hunt in East Texas a lot. Actually, just last night till dark, I was down in Yannis at a buddy's ranch hunting deer. I'm kind of one of these opportunistic bow hunters, if it's a hog, it's good. If it's a deer, it's okay.
I make
a lot of smoked and I cure sausage and even cure ham from wild hogs, and smoke them, and really, really good eating. It really is. But the rut was underway. I saw, this was not in the woods, it was on the road, $2 chasing one doe. So yeah, that's going on. And lots of acorns in the places I've been. John, is that pretty much widespread over northeast Texas now? Good acorn crop, do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, we had enough moisture early on that, you know, the oak trees, you know, were able to set on. We got kind of dry there a little for a period of time. But overall, my observation is the acorn crop is good to very good. Now, it seemed like, maybe 3 weeks ago when the rain really started, you know, there was a lot of acorn drop. Much of those acorns I don't think were very good. They were, you know, what I call light or empty, you know. But, you know, there's still plenty of good acorns to come. And that, you know, probably not as much as the acorns, but with the rain we have created, you know, another surge of nice green vegetation growth, lots of forbs, you know. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities for the deer to have some groceries out there. That they're not going to have to come to corn feeder, I guess is what I'm trying to say. There's plenty of food on the landscape, and so that make it a little bit challenging for some hunters. But, yeah, plenty of groceries, whether that be forbs or acorns, you know, should be a really good fall hunting season.
Yep, it's shaping up really good already. As far as forbs, you know, what do we call it? Well, the nickname, I guess, it's a mulberry type of tree, a bush.
Oh, American Beautyberry?
Yeah, and what's the nickname? French mulberry or something like
right,
that.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I've read, that's really prevalent in most areas that I hunt, lots of it. I've heard that it's the deer, I know I've watched deer eat it. The deer like that, French mulberry. Well, that's, right. You know, American Beautyberry is the name.
Yep.
Couldn't
right.
think of it for a minute, but I've watched the deer. That's a deer like it, but that's not one of their primary, that's not their favorite, I've read, you know?
Well, they do like it. They like the fruit. They like the leaves. You know, deer are a browsing animal, so they'll eat the leaves, you know, once the leaf drop and there's no berries left. They still really prefer to eat those little stems, you know, off there, the fresh new growth. So
yep.
It's what we consider a, you know, highly desirable forb plant for deer here in East Texas. So that's, if they're looking for groceries, when we go out and do browse surveys on a property to help them better manage the deer, that's one of the plants we look at, see how much utilization they get on American Beautyberry, because they just love it, you know. But so it's a nice plant to have in your forest and in your woodlands. So.
You bet. And honeysuckle, if that happens to occur, they wear that out too, don't they?
You bet. Yeah, honeysuckle, highly desirable, you know, not only from a browse standpoint, but, you know, scape cover, if it's dense enough, you know, to get in there and hide in that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, John, is honeysuckle, do you know, is that native plant? I mean, do you know if
there's so many varieties of it, you know, whether it's a, you know, a commercial variety, but there is native honeysuckle to Texas, and there's a couple different ones as you move from east to west, but there is a native Texas honeysuckle.
That's why we have so much of it. Well, John, thank you so much for just visiting with us. That's what my shows are all about, just trying to, people like you can shed a lot of information, and we'll get you back anytime you have something you want to share. You just get with me, and we'll let everybody tune in.
Like I said, if somebody, you know, gets a deer harvested over this extended season and want to get it tested, feel free to give their county biologist a call. They don't have to do anything special. Just kind of hold on to the head, and we don't have to get it that night. We can pick up the head the next day or a couple days, as long as it's not too hot, and we'll be glad to take a sample for them and educate them a little bit on CWD.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
All right. Have a great day.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.